Good evening, welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. We're going to try our best to make it even better for you. Tonight, we welcome the directors, Jessamé Ansari and Joyce Machen. They have a new documentary, Lee Fields' Faithful Man, which they worked on for 10 years. So it's out now, and they're going to tell us all about it. Then in Hot Topics, breaking down everything everyone's talking about. Of course, we talked about the Oscars last night. There were some wins. There were some upsets. And then Drea, she's in the news. She's dating the 22-year-old. She's 39. She's dating 22-year-old, an NBA player. And now she's pregnant with his child, and she's getting a lot of negative backlash. What are your thoughts? Mike Tyson, he's stepping back in the ring against Jake Paul. Does he still have it? Watch his videos on TikTok. And then lawmakers in Florida, they are working to ban thousands of homeless people from setting up camp or sleeping in public. And then there's a Florida OnlyFans model who she's upset that her daughter's school has threatened to expel her if she doesn't take down the account. Want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. Rather, watch us on our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. Please subscribe and comment. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics right back after this. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah.
I said that you pass, she waiting, she checking, she looking, and she not know what they are talking. I told her that trouble, she causing the way that she rocking and shaking her too much. On in a fatu matter, put it on me, let she fuck a cat eye. All the men is scatter, that all been it, I want in a track line. When you tie your lapa, and you wear your skin test, when you rocking your too much, bange, I want marry you. Chamu, I want take you. Anything you want, I give it to you. Take my name, my money, my car, my clothes, my everything, oh. Suffer, eh. I can never suffer, eh. Suffer, eh. I'm gonna lie on the waiting. But I'm in the setting. Testing the girl, they chasing. For the jupa, she jacking. I can never suffer, eh. Suffer, eh.
What play you non see fun get capping? Like I said before, hungry line blocking. You leave it, another scamming with bop it. Grab it, squeeze it, with dry fist. That it done, you will be trying how to catch it. You know you missing a casa by Rebete. You fix it, old fire joint, how to catch. Then you won't speak series now till they get. Pretty girl, let me take you out of dinner. I got a cheddar, forgive me, I was a sinner. Gonna be better from January down to December. Take trips, go to spas, even in the winter. So sexy, gorgeous, and beautiful. Everything that we do is memorable. I'm feeling you from your head down to your toes. Don't have to speak on it, I'm gonna show.
I'm
and I'm in it, it's setting. Testing it, got it, chasing. But the chupa, she checking. My girl never suffer, eh. Suffer, eh. My girl never suffer, eh. Suffer, eh. Hungry lion, they waiting. But I'm in it, it's setting. Testing it, got it, chasing. But the chupa, she checking.
Anytime she walking, yeah. The boy them be watching.
The boy them be watching.
Anytime she walking, yeah. The boy them be jaking.
The boy them be jaking.
Baby girl, you temptation. Anytime you turn girl, you confusion.
Confusion.
Baby girl, you temptation. Anytime you turn girl, you confusion.
Testing it, got it chasing. But the chupa, she checking. My girl never suffer, eh. Suffer, eh. My girl never suffer, eh. Suffer, eh. I'm with lion, they waiting. But I'm in it, it's setting. Testing it, got it chasing. But the chupa, she checking.
Self-control with you, wrong with you, said I'm strong with you. I guess I lied about not writing another song with you. Just get into it, I'll grow through it. Saw us holding hands every day, but fuck it, screw it.
Give me the ocean, give me the ocean. Any devotion from you, I know I do. Give me emotion, give me the ocean. Any devotion from you, I know. From you, I know I do. Motion, ocean, I need devotion. From you, I know I do.
I'm Winter from Love and Marriage DC, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you have a great Monday. We have a great show lined up for you. We welcome the directors behind the documentary, Lee Fields' Faithful Men. It's something they worked on for a decade, and it came out last month during Black History Month. So definitely want to hear about more about that project. Then we're mind all over social media, Facebook, X, IG, TikTok, and of course our official website is StephenKnightShow.com. If you rather, where you can get our merch, and if you rather watch, it's going on our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. Please subscribe and comment. We're definitely loving the comments I'm seeing. Please make sure you register to vote. As you know, we have a important election coming up, and if you saw the State of the Union and the response, you want to make sure you're voting. All right, so it is Women's History Month, and today we're highlighting Bessie Coleman. She's a Texas native. Shout out, Texas, Brittany. A Texas native, Bessie Coleman, dreamt of flying planes, however, as a Black woman in the 1920s. Getting her pilot's license in the U.S. was nothing short of impossible. That didn't stop the would-be aviator who, in the face of adversity, learned to speak French, then left to train in France, where Black people were permitted to become aviators. Within 7 months, Coleman officially became a pilot, making her the first Black woman to do so. However, flying wasn't enough for Coleman. She also wanted to perform stunts. After training with the German military aces, Coleman successfully became a barnstormer, or a pilot who did stunts at air shows. But tragically, she did die in a car accident in 1926 at the age of 34. But shout out to Bessie Coleman for being a trailblazer for women. All right. I know we're all a little tired. How y'all feeling on this Monday, family?
I'm exhausted.
Super.
No. Did y'all have a good weekend? My brother came.
Honestly, it was a rough one. It was rough.
It was rough.
You already know what my life is. I'm dealing with a man that just got a kidney transplant right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's true. My brother did come in town this weekend, so I went to brunch with him and his lady on Saturday, and then you know daylight savings. I think that has something to do with it too. I woke up. Why I was just getting home at 5 something in the morning. Even then it's 4 something in the morning because of the time. What am I supposed to be? Anyway, well, our question of the day is this. True or false? I saw this on social media. Dating does not mean we have to talk every day. Linnea, true or false?
I mean, if I don't really like you, then no. But if I really like you, I mean... Jay and I have been together for 7 years, but right. In that 3 years, we've talked every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Mm-hmm. That's because we want to talk to each other.
Right, right. Exactly.
You want to talk to somebody. Somebody gets on your nerves, you don't really want to. And if, you know, if you're not that type of person, you know, I have friends who just prefer to text.
Mm-hmm.
But for the person I'm schmoozing, yeah, and I like you. Yeah. Every day.
What about you, Jigga?
It's a luxury, not a requirement.
Okay. Yeah, right. Brittany?
It's a requirement for me. Because then why don't you want to talk to me? Like, I'm confused. Like, and then to Lania's point, even a good morning text, like, or something, just to let me know, like, you still alive. Like, and I guess it depends on, like, the... where we are in the dating. Are we just starting out? Are we like hot and heavy, exclusive, like where our level is? But yeah, if you like me, you gotta talk to me every day. Otherwise, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I agree. I gotta talk to you every day. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, like.
But there are some people that said no. I'm gonna read some of the social media comments, which was kind of surprising to me. Here we go. Here we go. Dwayne says, for me, false. So he's saying, you do need to talk to him every day. Krista Clark said, yeah, no. I'm going to need to have some sort of communication daily. So that's false. There's no time to waste. Will said, depends on the purpose of dating. If we are dating to build on something permanent long term, then yes, we need to talk every day. Jennifer said, true. The level of dating also plays a part into that too. While it's nice, I personally don't hate to be contacted every day, just most days. One girl said true, Katie, and then Eric said, yes, it does. So depends. I guess depends on people. Well, go on X, let us know, true or false. Dating doesn't mean you have to talk every day. All right, so yesterday was the Oscars. Who watched? Brittany said nobody watched the Oscars. Yeah, you watched?
I watched some because I felt like it was a requirement. Right. To my job at the Stephen Knight Show.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't fully engaged, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't horrible.
I passed it a couple times, but I didn't really watch. I did see a lot of clips today, but Oppenheimer won big at the 2024 Oscars, coming in with 13 nominations, earning awards in major categories such as Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Picture. Barbie, the other half of the dual box office Barbenheimer sensation, earned 8 nominations, but only got 1 win Sunday night, and that was for Best Song. Other big winners at the 96th Academy Awards were Poor Things, which won awards for hair, makeup, production design, and custom design, and Cecilia Murphy, who won Best Actor, continuing his winning streak after taking home the comparable awards at the 2024 Golden Globes and BAFTAs and Screen Actors Guild Awards for the role in Oppenheimer. Emma Stone, and some consider an upset, took home Best Actress for her role in Poor Things, beating out Lily Gladstone, who became the first Native American to be nominated for Best Actress for her role in Molly Burkhart in Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. This year's ceremony took place at Dolly Theater in Los Angeles and features its share of both hilarious and touching moments. Comedian late night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel returned to host the Oscars for the second year in a row for his fourth time overall. Oppenheimer won again the most Oscars, including Robert Downey Jr., who won his first Oscar. I want to talk about the Black woman who won for Best Supporting Actress. Would you know her name?
Thank you. Devon Joy,
and she gave a wonderful speech about, how being seen, and I saw another interview. She said that she started out doing music, and her mom's the one that took her to the acting school and said, "There's something here for you at the theater." So, shout out to her and congratulations. Any highlights? The director, he was his first Black director at 40. He was his first movie he won to, for one of the documentaries. That's what it was. But yeah. Any thoughts on the Oscars?
You forgot Cord Jefferson for American Fiction.
American Fiction, yes.
Yep. And definitely Lily Gladstone should have won.
Yeah.
But I ain't gonna go there. I'm trying not to be militant tonight.
Right.
But she should have won.
Yeah.
She didn't.
Right.
But we don't know why.
Shout out to all the winners. Shout out to all the winners. All right. So here's a story that's been making the rounds. Drea, you know, the personality reality show and actress, I think she acts, but she's been dating an NBA player, Jalen Green, who's 22. She's 39. Her oldest son is 22. And now she's getting some flack because she's pregnant. And so a lot of women are saying, well, men do it all the time, date younger women. But some people said it's kind of desperate. Some people say she did it just to have a baby because she had said in an interview before she wanted another child. But she's getting a lot of heat. What are y'all thoughts? I'll ask the ladies first. I'll start with you, Brittany.
I think it's distasteful. I mean, I have a son, and I know that my son is already very protective of me. So for me to go and date somebody his age, he would not be going for that. And I think it's very distasteful. And just to be like, men do it all the time, does not mean that we have to stoop to that level. And then also, like, I saw a comment and they were like, the daughter, now you got to tell your daughter that why her brother and her daddy the same age, and that is kind of like, that's just too much. So for me, I can't do that much younger. And then he a first time daddy, you know, this relationship not about to last, so now you're bringing the baby into another broken home. I just, yeah, nah, it's not for me. But if it works for her, more power to her. Like, I hope y'all have a good time while it lasts. So, no.
What about you, Lanier?
We're going to call it what it is. She just want to get a bag from a young dude that's playing ball, period. That's what it is. Because there's no way that y'all have anything in common outside of being in the sheets. That's it. I mean, but kudos to her for, you know, lurking around in the playground and finding something to play with and latching on to it so she can get some coverage for the next 18 years or however that's gonna work. I would definitely the same way when people say, oh, well, men do it too, you're trying to excuse bad behavior because men are wrong for doing it. You're wrong for doing it. Is tantamount with she's in her 30s, am I correct?
39.
What you got in common with this little boy? He hasn't even learned himself yet.
Right.
He don't know nothing. He's still on a teat. Like, he don't know nothing. And just because he got, you know, I don't even know like his position. He's not, I mean, he got a nice little coin. But he ain't, you know. Right. So she latched on to what she could latch on to, so she can feel like she's secure. But ask that same question and see where they are in about, I don't know, maybe 2 years. Mm.
Chicken, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to quote the great Pearl Elizabeth Evans. Ah! And what she would say is, as an adult, you can do anything that you want to do, long as you are prepared to deal with the consequences of your actions. Yeah. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Like, yeah. My mom would say, like, grown folk be grown. But it does look bad, especially when you have kids, you know.
The same age.
Yeah, same age, exactly.
And then 3 baby daddies, and then 1 NFL player, now 1 NBA player, and then 1 random person.
There's a pattern here. Yeah. It's a pattern here. I know I'm not that old, but ain't no way.
Drea, the next one need to be MLB girl, and they don't have no cap.
Ain't no way. My son 31. But I look like dating somebody that's the same age as my son, and he's 31.
Right.
I'm good.
Yeah. Not a good look. All right, well, it looks like things will be getting pretty lit this summer when boxing legend Mike Tyson will step into the ring against Jake Paul. The match will take place in Texas in July. It was officially announced last Thursday, according to Variety. The co-main event and undercards for the event will be announced at a later date. This is not the first time Mike Tyson and Paul have boxed during the same event. Back in 2020, Paul fought in the co-main event in Tyson and Roy Jones exhibition match. Excuse me. Jake Paul reflected on his upcoming fight against Tyson and said, "It's crazy to think that in my second pro fight, I went viral for knocking out Nate Robinson on Mike Tyson's undercard. Now, less than 4 years later, I'm stepping up to face Tyson myself to see if I have what it takes to be one of the boxing's most notorious fighters and biggest icons." Sorry. Tyson also spoke about Jake's growth as a boxer and added, "He's grown significantly as a boxer over the years, so it will be a lot of fun to see what the will and ambition of a kid can do with the experience of a GOAT. It's a full circle moment that will be beyond thrilling to watch as I start him off in his boxing journey on the undercard of my fight with Roy Jones, and now I plan to finish him." So Jake was a YouTuber who became a boxer, and apparently he's fought some really impressive people, and he's done well. But have you seen Mike Tyson's recent videos? He still has it. What do y'all think about Mike Tyson fighting him? I'll start with you, Chicken.
As a person over a certain age, I'm here for all of it. I want to see it. I want to see all of it. I want Mike to go in and beat Mike Tyson. That's all. Brittany.
I thought Jake Paul was a troll. Like, I thought he'd be like trolling the people and like pissing them off and stuff like that. So I don't know. For me, I can't take this seriously. Like, cause didn't he do with didn't he fight the other boxer with the Mayweather? Mm-hmm. Like, I thought he'd be trolling people.
He does troll people, but
so, I can't take him seriously.
It's gonna be on.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't. So, I mean, I hope it works out, you know, and then Mike Tyson don't fight fair, right? Like, don't he?
Now I'll go with Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to be fair, you're talking about Mike Tyson way later on.
Right.
Way
later okay, got you. Okay, my apologies. I don't follow boxing. Okay, got you. I'm sorry, I'm not privy of unboxing, so I don't know. But yeah, this sounds like a disaster for me, from what I know these people to be. So I don't know.
Nigga, what you thought? What you thought?
So I'm a boxing person, and I'm not a Jake Paul person, whatever his name is. I feel like, and this is just my personal opinion. I feel like he doesn't have a honest respect for boxing, because this whole doing this was, oh, I can do it, anybody can do it. These fights that he has been having are not the serious toe-to-toe boxing matches that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Period. When he did that whole night-night thing with Nate Robinson, first of all, he's way bigger than Nate Robinson. Yeah, you're not really fighting in your weight class. Let's clarify that. He's not really fighting in his weight class. But now that we come back to this whole Mike Tyson thing, oh, I'm here for all this foolishness, because even at 58, if you've never seen none of the videos of that man working out right now,
yes,
the power that he got right now at the age of 58, let's not forget that Mike called himself an animal back in the day. So he might not be young how he used to be, but that muck still hitting hard.
Yes.
Roy Jones would tell you he's still hitting hard. And they had an exhibition fight. And I love Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
But Mike in his power, all I got to say is I am so, so, so excited that I would just love Mike to go and do what we do best and just knock this fool straight out. But he's not gonna, he gonna play with him. Because Jake Paul think he people in his ear. Get your check, bro, but you might want to take the fall on this one. Because Mike, he gets you your chest cave in. Like, you will see his train, be like, oh, he got on pads and he hurt him. Come on, son. I might have a part.
Yeah, he still got it. Definitely still has it. Well, lawmakers in Florida are working to ban thousands of homeless people from setting up camps and sleeping on public property, according to AP News. The bill was supported by the governor, Ron DeSantis, of course. Counties with approval for the State Department of Children and Families could designate areas for people experiencing homelessness to camp up for a year. Reports state that under the bill, the Senate passed 27-12, anyone living in encampments would be prohibited from using alcohol or illegal drugs. Supporters of the bill will help eliminate the nuisance of homelessness people living on public property and parks. In addition, supporters argue that it will be easier to provide local services to the homeless if they're in one location. Currently, there's about 30,000 Floridians that don't have homes, and about half of them don't have shelters. So what do you think about this bill, Brittany?
I don't know. I have so many thoughts on Florida. I don't even know where to begin. It's becoming an experiment in my eyes between the commercial shutting down Miami, now the bill passing and the HBCU thing. Like, it's just Florida got a lot going on. And I don't know where that is going with that state. So I'm just interested to see how this all turns out with all this new legislation they keep passing.
And I saw in California, they have a program where they, because a lot of people think that homeless people want to be homeless. And there's some that obviously don't. They just can't afford it. And so they have a program where they actually get people off the street, and it's been helping them find housing has been helpful. But Linnea, what do you think about this this bill?
Florida is being Florida. Florida is showing what Florida is.
Yeah.
With the way that the world is going and how inflation is, you're going to have more homeless people because you don't want to pay people. You don't want to provide them just the basic necessities
right
to survive. But you're able to live high on the hog and do whatever you want to do. And it's just, it's a shame. And I give props to California because I went to LA before, and their whole situation out there, when people see LA on TV, they just see the fun side. But driving around LA, you see nothing but tents. And people living outside on a daily basis. And that, and like they have, I hate to say it, but they have compounds set up. And these people are actively living on the street. You know what I mean? And they made these compounds so, you know, they can have some form of safety, some form of community, because they're all in it together. And it amazed me when I saw that. So Florida turning into something like that and now passing this bill, I feel like Florida is about to fall off the map.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like it's about to fall off the map along with Texas, with the way that they're going.
Yeah.
Don't speak that into existence. Okay.
These laws are just getting crazy. Like these laws that they're passing are just crazy. And I think in Virginia, they just denied passing the Crown Act in Virginia.
Wow. So, that's crazy.
And I start wearing my real hair out. People want to start, you know.
Chiki, what are your thoughts on all this?
I'm just sick of Florida. I'm sick of that DeSantis person. Shout out to the people that stand in the gap for the homeless. Shout out to We Out Here Incorporated. They feed the homeless in Florida. Thank you for all the hard work that you do and the dedication that you have to the homeless in your community. Shuffling people around and mistreating them is not the answer to the problem.
Right.
There needs to be some serious reform. And it's not like Florida doesn't have the space or the resources. They do. According to some of the legal maneuvers that are being done in the state, you're actually making the conditions in the state worse, even for people that aren't homeless to become homeless. Yep. Like, one, you're sending insurance companies running and fleeing out of the state and not insuring people that own homes. You can't insure your home, you won't have a home to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're creating more homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to create more homeless, then you might want to come up with a better program to deal with the homeless.
Absolutely. All right, so last story. So a Florida OnlyFans model is upset that her daughter's school has threatened to expel her. Fox 35 reports that Jen Wallander was told that she would have to withdraw her daughter from the school immediately or delete her OnlyFans account. Wallander uses her social media account to advertise her OnlyFans page. Her alias on Instagram is Taylor V. It's one whole thing, but it contains a direct link to her OnlyFans profile. Students from First Academy Leesburg, a private Christian school in Florida, discovered the OnlyFans account and shared it with their peers. This disrupted classes, leading to the school administration to become aware of Wallander's career choice. A school representative gave the mom two choices. He gave us the option that we would either withdraw her from the school immediately or take down the site, and she could continue with the school year. The OnlyFans model has until March 15th to make a decision. Furthermore, the school claims that Wallander violated the school's handbook. The school cited their handbook in a section titled Parental Behavior. She shared the section says, Any parent who intimidates, harasses, provides false information, or otherwise inappropriate interacts with staff, students, or other parents in person via electronic, social media, the internet, or any other manner may be disciplined, trespassed from campus, referred to law enforcement, and or have children dismissed from school. However, one of them rejected their reasoning, saying that doesn't have anything to do with it because I'm not interacting with anybody. Linnea, who's right, who's wrong?
I done told Chiki this a lot of times, and Jay refuses to let me put my feet on OnlyFans, and I know I can make some money, but he won't let me put my, I can't even put my feet on OnlyFans. So, this whole selective outrage thing about what's moral and what's not moral, when y'all get that tuition money, y'all not complaining, because she's going to a certain school, so because I think that there's like tuition money involved.
Yeah, private school.
Yes, it might be teetering on the edge, but who found out about this OnlyFans?
The students.
The students. Interesting, because I correct me if I'm wrong. OnlyFans got a lot of sexual stuff going on there. So don't you need a credit card or something to join OnlyFans? I don't know. But I'm asking. Was it a student or was it somebody's parent that was all up on OnlyFans minding somebody else's business?
Right.
That's all I'm saying. It might teeter the line, but it shouldn't impede that child going to school. But even though at this point, your mama business is out there. So she's going to be pariah for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, oh, it's a catch 22. Baby, let me put my feet on OnlyFans.
There was this actress recently. She was one of those mobs, gangster movies. I can't think of which one it is, but she was saying that she hadn't gotten any work in a long time because of the roles. And so she created an OnlyFans page where she posted tasteful nudes, and she said paid off her mortgage. She was able to pay off her mortgage. So when they say career choice, I don't know if it's a real career choice, but Brittany, what do you think about this? Does the school have a point?
I mean, I do think that once you have kids, you have to be aware that like some of your actions do affect your kids, because regardless of whether the school found out or not, yes, it getting passed around the school does affect my child. And my son, I feel you, Lania. I can't even get free drinks sent to me because he like, why he sending you that? Who is that? Mm-hmm. You don't know. I can't do nothing. And he quick to tell people I got kids and leave me alone. So I do think that very much so. It'd be your own kids. So I do think that as an adult, you do have to be conscious of the fact that your life is no longer your life when you're raising somebody else's. And so I definitely understand that. But this is also a testament. Y'all, please read what y'all be signing to put these kids in organizations and in schools. Like, how you don't know the handbook of what you can and cannot do trying to put him in a Christian school? Like, come on now. Like, if you knew you was a porno star before you went to that Montessori, maybe put them in public school. Oh, that's all I'm gonna say. Find a really nice public school and use somebody's address and put them in public school. And so maybe Christian school is not the way to go because you gotta sell some nudes for a little while, or maybe wait till high school till you're done selling the nudes and pay your mortgage or your house off. So
we're not suggesting,
times get hard.
We're not suggesting using anyone's address that's against the law, but
I'm so sorry. That's the old way to do it. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to give her other options. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe go to the strip club and strip in the club. I mean, that way you can take the site down. You can get your money other ways, you know, legally. Then you know, not use people.
We don't know what she look like.
We don't know what she.
We don't know what she look like.
And think about it. If you're gonna do that kind of work, it's probably you're more comfortable doing it at home, you know, in your own computer, your phone, or whatever the case may be, as opposed to going out and stripping for people. You know what I mean?
Do them voice calls where people don't call in no more. Like, were you calling on the phone?
They
oh, okay.
The party lines.
Party
there
line.
You go. No, 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 no,
I got them, but you're talking about the party line.
And you hear the people calling on the phone, and you got the voice, and you be like, yeah, baby. Find another way to make some money, baby.
Cheeky, what are your thoughts?
So, for Brittany, I just want to say to you, the way your son now is now, it's going to come full circle, because he's going to get to a point where he's going to be like, take her. Please, take my mother. Please, take her. She needs an activity. She needs something. My God.
Yes, so it'll I come agree. Full circle. I hope so, Chike. Speed it up.
It always amazes me how people will sign their name on a dotted line and then want to go rogue and not be beholden to the entity in which they devote themselves to. You signed on a dotted line, you put your child in that school, you should have read the bylines, and that be that. I understand that, you know, you got to do what you got to do for yourself, but because that's your child and your child is in school and you signed a dotted line, you are also in school with that child.
Yeah.
You are also a part of that curriculum because you signed your name on the dotted line. You are the one that's responsible for the dinero. They don't want good Christian money coming from the devil's nectar.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
Listen, at least on paper, on front, I don't want that.
This is not the pastor from Friday.
They don't want that.
Yeah.
They want that good, wholesome cash up front, on the surface. Mm-hmm. Without anybody knowing.
Clearly in Atlanta, you can go to a public school, and then if your kid bully, you can jump on the bus, you can fight the kids, you can go. So that
wow.
You need to be in that, you need to be in a public school. You get more freedom. So
hey, maybe you should send your child to HBCU. Maybe. Hey, listen.
With the way they're closing them down, we ain't gonna have them no more.
Right.
How about that?
That part. Yeah, I mean, I could see if she had the page, you know, no one knew, but then she got caught. So, you know, you got to make a decision. I mean, to me, it makes sense, you know, because it makes it uncomfortable. Can you imagine if your classmates looking at your mom's news? You know what I mean? How you going to focus on school?
Put a mask on.
Put a mask on, right. Well, we're going to leave it there, y'all. Good luck to the mom. Hopefully she can keep that money coming in. But Nia and Brittany, thank you as always. Check out See Movie Reviews. And when we come back, we talk to the directors behind the new documentary, Lee Fields' Faithful Man. Right back after this.
A testament I gotta tell. Faith I'm about to flex on. A study for the test on. Positive my God can do the rest. He's a king, he's a God, he's a big ass. He's a truth, he's a lie, he's a real ass. When he tells me he loves me, I feel it. Ain't nobody on this earth that can steal it. So I feel the shame, cause I'm feeling positive. I'm true to me. Hey, hey, oh. Said I'm absolutely positively, certainly, emphatically, definitely, confidently, obviously, there I'm really, really shining. Really, I'm truly, I'm positive. Positive. Woo! Yes, sir.
This is Corporate Aaron, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Lee Fields is a funk and soul legend 50 years in the making. Lee Fields' Faith Man, the documentary, feature documentary featuring Jessamyn Ansari and Joyce Machen, chronicles Fields' journey to find his place in soul music history from vinyl to virtual and back again. They both join us tonight to tell us about this amazing project. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I know you both have impressive resumes. So tell us, I'll let you each tell us a little bit about your background and then we'll get into the documentary. I'll start with you, Jessamyn.
Okay, sure. So I'm in the documentary and TV world. I kind of came up at HBO Docs, just working on, you know, different projects there. and then, you know, in TV, I've worked for networks like Food Network, Travel Channel, National Geographic, HBO Max, things of that nature. And these days I do a lot of actually true crime writing. So I'm writing true crime scripts for Oxygen Network. And yeah, that's me.
all the good things. And what about you, Joyce?
Yeah, so I'm a filmmaker and a coach. I produce and direct independent films, and I coach other filmmakers to get their films made and get through what's stopping them from making their films or other creative projects. And yeah, I have like a background of 15 plus years in the TV and film industry. I've done a lot of unscripted TV, executive producer on 90 Day Fiancé, executive producer for a lot of different Food Network shows, including Chow House, which I think is now shooting its second season. I did the first season. I worked on Chopped for many, many, many years as a producer. And so that's how I kind of got to know the ropes of making unscripted content. And then I started to do my passion, which is to make feature documentaries and other feature films.
Wow. Both of you have impressive, like I said, impressive resumes. I was reading up on you. I was like, okay, these women know what they're doing. So did you all both have this love for film and for directing? And was it always something that you had, or is it something you kind of fell into? How did it happen for you?
Yeah, I actually studied theater directing in college. We both went to Carnegie Mellon University. That's where
Okay. And,
so I was studying theater, and something about it just didn't quite click for me. And so after I graduated, I needed a job, and Jessamyn was working on P. Diddy's Making the Band.
Okay.
She's like, they need another production assistant. Do you want to come on? And I was like, sure. fired from my waitressing job. And so that's how it started for me. And then I was like, oh, this is really like the environment I want to be in. And I really enjoyed the process of working on a TV show. And so that's kind of how it grew for me.
Awesome. And Jessamyn, you're the one that found this story, found this project, and presented it to Joyce to collaborate on. Tell us why it was important to tell this story.
Yeah, so this project we've been working on for a little over 10 years. This actually all got started in 2013. Mm-hmm. And I had been wanting to make my own film for a while. I'm a writer, and just working on all these other amazing projects at all these great places had me wanting to do my own project. But it seemed like everything that I was looking into, every story that I was researching, someone was already making that movie. Mm-hmm. So one day my younger sister and her boyfriend showed me a music video for Lee's song, Faithful Man. Mm-hmm. And I was just totally struck by it. I mean, you know, obviously his music is incredible. Right. And then when I looked into his story, I was like, wow, this is an amazing story. This should be a movie. And I just assumed someone was already making it. So I reached out to him with no expectations. And to my great surprise, he was into it. He wanted to do it. And then I said, I think I need a little help here. And so I called Joyce. We're friends from college. So, you know, we'd been in creative writing classes together. We always kind of had the idea that maybe we would work on something together. So I called Joyce and she said, no way. Right. You know, she said, I'm too busy for this, you know, but I said, let's just go out to Lee's house. So we spent a day filming with him.
And it was this amazing experience. He sang a song for us in his garage studio. He told us his life story. And, you know, as we're walking away from his house, Joyce is like, all right, I'm in. And and that was that. And that's where it got started from.
And I read you all said that, you know, his fans, they go across different generations, obviously, because he started out in the 70s, really, and then had a resurgence in the early 2000s. So, and you all, you say, you know, there's a generational gap, but you all, you felt each other. There was a bond that you all had while doing this project. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I think we realized that for our generation, right? Like we're like 90s kids really. Right. But for our generation, like music started to get very digital, right? Mm-hmm. And CDs, and then there's Napster and like all that stuff. And like the sound of the tracks was all like in this digital direction. And we realized that like, the thing we love about Lee's music is that analogness of it, right? It's like what they were doing and the tradition that he's coming from, it's so analog and that sound is so hard to come by and it's so compelling, I think, for a lot of people in our generation who grew up with the music that we grew up with.
Mm-hmm. And what was something, okay, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, in terms of Lee, you know, he's so open. He's such a open person that, you know, he just sort of talks to everyone like, you know, like they're in his living room. And mm-hmm. We over time, we just kind of developed more and more of a trust with him and more of a bond mm-hmm. and built this relationship.
Did you obviously working on this project over a decade? I'm sure you all learned a lot about each other. What was something that stood out the most about Lee?
I mean, I would say for me, what started to strike me more and more is really his faith. And, you know, we ended up calling the movie Faithful Man mm-hmm. because he really is the faithful man. And that just became more and more resonant the longer we were in the project. You know, for us, it became sort of like a touchstone of like, we were initially inspired by his story because we were fascinated by it and we were young and we were just intrigued. And then the further along the road we got, the more we really realized that we needed to take real inspiration from his story and have faith in ourselves and our ability to move the project forward and to take a lesson from his book. So that's what struck me.
What about you, Joyce?
Yeah, I think for me, it's like, he's such a regular guy at home. Uh-huh. Like he's such a family man and he's pretty simple in terms of, you know, he likes to barbecue and spend right. time with family and stuff like that. And so to like see the man on stage, this like great, powerful singer mm-hmm. screaming and sweating and dancing and all of that. And then to see like who he is when he comes off stage, like that was really amazing to see like he can hold both of those things and that he really is both of those things.
Absolutely. And I can imagine again, decade doing this project, working on this project. You were growing up during this as well, although you had your established careers. What did you learn about yourselves?
Go ahead, Joyce.
I say like, our partnership has been like a marriage, truly, like committed to each other, right? Like we're friends. We're not going to like bail on each other. And we were so committed to this project. I learned a lot about how I work and like what my strengths are and what my weaknesses are. And Jessamyn happens to be like a perfect complement in a lot of ways for me. And I think that goes both ways. And sometimes that's great. And sometimes it's like so hard. And so I think I learned that, right? Like how to be in a working partnership mm-hmm. and find a way to like work with our differences instead of like having it like make us both crazy all the time, which sometimes it does too. But like even when that's happening, like we've learned how to kind of navigate that.
And I can see that happen in any close working relationship. You know, we don't always think the same. We don't always have the same direction, but the overall goal is the same. What about you, Jessamyn?
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, it's really interesting being in a partnership. It really highlights your own, you know, when you're working on something like this, the natural instinct is to think that your instincts are the whole picture. And when you're working with a partner, you realize, oh, they have opposite instincts, then that's a piece of the picture as well. And it highlights, you know, really what your strengths and weaknesses are, which is something I was, you know, not aware of or much less aware of when we started this. So it's been a really interesting road for sure.
Absolutely. And so decade goes by, you finish the project. Was it bittersweet saying goodbye to it? I know, obviously, you're excited to have it released, but was it bittersweet? Like, we're done, we're finished it.
There's no such thing as goodbye. It just continues and continues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll
always, be nice.
I think it definitely, this, now that it's been released in North America,
yeah,
it does feel like we reached a culmination. You know, at each stage when we finished the cut, it was like, okay, we finished the cut, but now we have to get it out there. And then when we screened at festivals, it was like, right, okay, we've screened at festivals, but now we have to find a distributor. And so each stage was, we were almost like, we're like, should we be drinking champagne now? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
And every time it was like, no, it doesn't seem like it's time. And now, at least I finally feel like, okay, like we have come to the goal of what we have to do here.
And it released February 27th during Black History Month. How significant was that?
That was huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. And it was super dramatic. You know, up until a couple of weeks before the release, we were still crowdfunding to make sure that we could cover our costs for the release. So like, there was almost this piece that was like, are we really going to make it? Like, is this really going to happen? And so when we finally did make it, and we made it in time for Black History Month, and we were able to get it out there, that was truly a dream come true.
Absolutely.
What did Lee think of the film?
He loves it. And that's been, I mean, I think for both of us, definitely for me, that's, you know, maybe the most important piece of all. And he, you know, he has said before that it feels like a dream. It feels like he's just watching his life like it's a dream. And, you know, that he appreciates that his life is, his life story is there for people to watch. And we've also had some of his relatives come to screenings and say it's meaningful for them to see the family's story being told. So that's been amazing. Truly, truly amazing.
I can imagine, because it goes through the ups and downs, you know, highs and lows. Almost seemed at one point, thought the career was over, and then there's this resurgence. And so I think that's a testament to anyone who's really passionate about something and, you know, pursuing something. What do you want the viewer to take away from this story outside of learning about this incredible man and his story? What else do you want them to learn?
Yeah. For me, it's really like, believe in yourself, like have faith in yourself. If you know you're here to do something, like no matter what life is throwing at you, like go do it and don't give up until you're there. And that's like the lesson that I take from Lee. And that's also the joy in seeing now. It's like all of that hard work and waiting for it to happen and not knowing how it's going to happen, but continuing to have faith in himself as an artist, like that's why he's having the career he's having today.
Absolutely. And still making music. What about you, Jasmine?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I would just add that also, Lee is such a good person. He's such a kind, open, gentle, warm, joyful person. And, you know, I'm sure that's not the case for everyone who's at his level of fame, let's say. Right. And it's really, you know, remarkable to be around him, because he gives off so much joy and light. And so I think, you know, I hope when people see the movie, they feel that from him and they feel uplifted, not just because of his story being so uplifting, but also because he's just such a great guy, really.
Absolutely. So what's next for both of you? Anything you can share? I know a lot of times we can't share everything.
I'm in post-production on a narrative feature that I'm producing with a director named Keith Miller. So we are starting to apply to festivals with that. And I am starting development on my next feature documentary.
Awesome. So, awesome. And where can we keep up with you, Joyce?
You can keep up with me on Facebook. Just find me, Joyce Michon, on Facebook, and also on my website, www.joycemichon.com. And yeah, and if you have a project that you're trying to get off the ground, send me a message.
Hit her up. What about you, Jessamyn?
So I'm doing a little bit of development on a documentary, a personal doc that I want to make about my dad, who's from Afghanistan. And then I'm also, I love horror movies. And so I'm working on a horror movie script, and I'm hoping to produce that as my next project.
That's awesome. Where can they keep up with you?
Oh, on my website, jessaminansari.com.
Listen, documentary is called Lee Phil's Faithful Man. It's available on iTunes, Amazon Prime, Google Play, YouTube, Vimeo, and more, wherever you enjoy your great movies. We'll have a link in the bio of this video. I want to thank you so much for taking time out your schedule. Congratulations on this project. I mean, a decade long in the works. Congratulations. And thank again, for more information, go to our website, thestephenknightshow.com. We'll be right back after this.
God has a funny way of showing you lessons.
Remix featuring Kevin Ross, Raheem Devon, and Anthony Hamilton.
God has a funny way of showing what it's meant to be. Had to learn everything I was meant to see wasn't meant for me. Guess I had to fall many times.
Fall in love.
Guess all them bruises made me strong enough to see you, see who you are. 'Cause before I just played too many games to see this blessing in front of me. Thank God he opened up my eyes. Now I'm realizing
everyone that let me down led me to you.
Oh, baby, all them sleepless nights,
all the heartbreak I had led me to you.
'Cause if I never went through it, I'd have never found a love.
Growing up in time is a blessing. And I wait one more day running round. I wanna miss this. Not you, baby. No. The heart of the woman that you are surely shine through you. God wants to save me for you. I used to dread the love I lost. It was barely just a blemish. Now that life led me to you, God intended this. Now I realize
everyone that let me down led me to you.
Oh, baby,
all them sleepless nights, and if I never went through it, I would never find love like you.
Like a rolling stone, temptation song.
Papa was a rolling stone.
Running a fast lane, never looking back.
Just always moving on.
I kept it moving on.
Till you came in my world.
Ooh, it struck my heart like lightning, boom.
So I'm grateful, baby.
I'm grateful, baby. So realize,
everyone that let me down led me to you,
baby. You came as a blessing.
Every bad choice only made for the thorough checklist. Every wrong turn showed me there's a clear direction. I had to let it go and let God do. If it was up to me, I would have never knew. This magic, best thing happened to me. Life's fast, but with you in my passenger seat. No losses, we just live and learn. And though I can't say every love affair I have is perfect, but every painful day and late night was worth it. Took me a while, but I realized
everyone that let me down led me to you.
Led me to you, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, all those sleepless nights.
Broken, learn from it. I'm done playing your childish games. I'm the queen and I always reign. See, it's the end and now you're feeling played. I watched your moves and now I'm highly trained. See, hurting you, I have nothing to gain. It's just your time for you to feel the pain. It really hurts to have to be this way. Two hearts felt the ricochet.
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, how's it going in D.C.?
It's going great in D.C. We're getting some, it's still cold, but it was supposed to be in the mid to late 70s this Thursday. So we are ready to get out of this spring slump.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's beautiful weather here. It rained most of the weekend, but yesterday it was nice. And this week's supposed to be high 60s, low 70s. So.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. I'll let y'all take away movie reviews.
Yeah, sure thing.
I can't wait to talk about Love is Blind, so go ahead, I'll let
you. Oh, of course. Well, since I missed last week, I wanted to talk about the big movie, in my opinion, of last week, which was Dune Part 2. So this is finishing Denis Villeneuve, or Denis Villeneuve's vision of the Dune book by Frank Herbert. And if anyone remembers, we saw Part 1 back, I guess, right, like around the pandemic, kind of setting up the storyline of this sci-fi epic. And Timothée Chalamet plays the main character as Paul Atreides, and Zendaya plays kind of the love interest in the story. So Part 2 is more action-packed. This is kind of, you know, finishing the first book, and it's Paul. We left him in the desert, kind of with his mom, trying to figure out what to do after basically his whole house was eradicated by a rival family, a rival house, and how he goes through the path of uniting the people of the planet to fight kind of the big families and the emperor in the end. I don't want to kind of go into too much, because not much as much spoilers, but this is a complicated book. It's a complex movie as well. There's a lot of layers. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of characters that you should pay attention to. So for the sake of our audience, I'm not going to go into all those details. But what I will say is this was great. Highly enjoyed it. It is over 2 hours, 2.5 hours or something like that. But it didn't feel like that. They did a great job. Not only with the action, but kind of setting up that magnificent scale of the planet, the sandworms, the action. And I know I mentioned that already, but I just, there's a scene where Paul is trying to ride a sandworm. And I think it's probably one of the best scenes of the movie, of really giving you that like intensity of what he's doing on this planet. So I don't know if Chike, you talked about it last week at all, if I'm being redundant, but this movie, yeah, it hit all the high marks for me.
Yep. Was that it? That the only one you saw?
So that's the only film I saw. I did start watching Shogun, which anyone's heard about this. It's a new FX series following kind of the late 1500, early 1600s Japanese kind of families that are going on. And we follow the character of this British guy who's kind of come to Japan, and historically, the Spanish and the Portuguese kind of put not a stranglehold, but they've kind of monopolized that region of the world, and working with the Japanese for trade. And so this Englishmen arise at a time when there's a death in the kind of the emperor, whatever the hierarchy is, and there's a lot of warring families that are about to kind of get involved with what's going to happen. So it's billed as kind of like the next Game of Thrones. Too early to tell for that, but so far it's really good. I mean, you know, again, it's building into those deep stories. It's building into kind of what's going on in the world at this time and the nuances with the Japanese culture and how they're going to navigate with this new arrival of the British and, of course, the Europeans coming to the island and how to interact with them. So that's the only other thing I saw. And then, of course, the Oscars.
Okay. Well, today must be Timothy Chalamet Day because I saw Wonka. And Wonka was pretty refreshing. It was pretty good. Timothy Chalamet, Hugh Grant, and Olivia Colman star. It's basically a Wonka origin story. We find out where Willy Wonka comes from and his humble beginnings to become the world premier chocolatier. The only disappointing thing for me about it all was that they used Hugh Grant as a Oompa Loompa. Not that I have a problem with Hugh Grant, but I would have loved to have seen some small people in the film like they did in the original Wonka. You know, they need a check too. They need jobs too. So why not, you know, put them to work? I mean, the role was originated by small people. Mm-hmm. Have it continue. Hopefully, when you do more in the future, please look to the small community and employ them. But other than that, it was great. The music was great. The cinematography was great. The sci-fi was great. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I think children would love it, too. And I think that it's good if you would watch them in succession of one another. The Johnny Depp one is a great one, too, but it's just a retelling of the Gene Wilder version. Mm-hmm. So I like the Gene Wilder version better than the Johnny Depp version. Just my opinion. But definitely check it out. It was good to watch.
Did any of the songs get stuck in your head, you know, or any really like some things you recognize? One? Yeah.
No, not
okay.
Not so much. But you know that Oompa Loompa song will never go away. That never goes away.
Oh yeah, it lives in our brains forever.
Yes. And the next film that I saw is streaming on Amazon Prime, and it's called Ricky Stenicki. And it is starring Zac Efron, John Cena, Andrew Santino, and Jermaine Fowler. This movie was hilarious. It made me laugh out loud. So basically, they're three guys and their friends, and they come up with this alter ego for whenever they need a scapegoat when they're in trouble. And they blame it on this guy named Ricky Stenicki. And over the years, Ricky Stenicki grew into this entity that they created. I mean, to the point where they even gave him a Instagram page. So he has his own life. They create a backstory for him and everything, just so that they are able to utilize him when they need him in their adult life. And listen, they were on point with their storyline. They created a whole Bible based off of the things that he has done over the years and his accomplishments so that he has a backstory for his validity. And then it gets to a point where they run into a dead end and they actually need a physical manifestation of Ricky Stenicki. And they run into John Cena. Again, I laughed out loud. It's insane. It's one of those buddy comedies, but at the same time, it's buffoonery at its best. John Cena, you know, say what you want about him. He's found his niche. The Peacemaker is hilarious with him in it. There was another film that he was in with the vacation couples, Couples Vacation, mm-hmm. I think it's called. He's hilarious in that. So he's found his niche. This is where he's perfect. Definitely check this out. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. I guarantee you, you'll laugh too.
Yeah, I'll say, I watched the trailer and I was going to watch that next, but I didn't get a chance to this weekend. But it did look hilarious and it looks, I mean, again, if anyone's on the fence, go watch the trailer on Amazon Prime. It'll convince you this movie, it just looks like a fun time.
And William H. Macy guest stars, and he is hilarious as well. And I love to see him in comedy because he's such a brilliant actor that anything that he does, you know, it falls in his part. Yes. Is like perfect. You want to talk about the Oscars at all? Or Steven, do you want to jump to?
No, I want you all to talk about the Oscars, yeah.
Yeah, well, speaking of John Cena, he went out naked on stage. I thought that was a hilarious bit. They did a good
someone
job.
Someone said, I watched another show and they said they're bringing Ratchet to nice places. I'm tired of that.
That's funny. Yeah, so I will say this. I had a feeling Oppenheimer was going to win a lot of stuff. I was fine with that. I mean, it wasn't the best picture in my opinion, but you know what? It's a tough field, actually. There was a lot of great movies here. But I think everything went well. I think the biggest upset, of course, was Lily Gladstone. I think that's everyone's talking about that, how Emma Stone won it over her. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen either of the films, actually, Killers of the Flower Moon or Poor Things, so I can't make a judgment call there. But from what I saw, everything else tracked, you know, and the I'm Ken performance was fun from Ryan Gosling, and even the little banter between the kind of the hosts when they like come and talk to each other was fun. So besides being like 3.5 hours long, and I did watch like half of it and then I had to move on to other things. It was an enjoyable show and kind of it went on track.
Yeah. And I kind of predicted that Oppenheimer would do that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Stephen, go ahead.
They said a lot of people liked the fact that they had the previous winners present, show up for the nominees. Because, you know, usually when you have the category, they said they hadn't done it in 15 years. Usually, you know, they just announce the winner. And that's really, the rest of the nominees don't really get any kind of, any shine. But because they're recognized by the other winners, the previous winners, it kind of gave them a little bit more of a, you know.
Yeah. Also, I'd love to see like a runner up or like second place. Because I'm just curious, you know, like, did Oppenheimer win by just one vote, two votes? Like, you know, I'm wondering how split sometimes these decisions are. And really like how you can kind of get maybe what else was out there in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to say Chica.
I don't have anything else to add. It was kind of predictable though. Like I kind of predicted that Oppenheimer would be the big winner because of the type of film that it was and what it represented. And if you remember, if you go back to years ago when Schindler's List was in the running, it was kind of like the same thing. It was that iconic film that spoke about a period of time and it swept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, Love is Blind. So they had, it was the season, well, the finale, I guess. They have reunion coming on this week, I believe. But there are three couples. They were still in the running to get married. And it was Chelsea and Jimmy, which I thought they were both crazy. Like their relationship was crazy. Like it seemed just toxic. You know what I mean? First of all, Chelsea was so annoying. That's the one that I told him that she liked Megan Fox, or people said she liked Megan Fox. So they ended up breaking up before they got to the aisle because he had trusted her with, because she has two close female friends that she's met. They all got along. But he told her off camera that him and one of the girls slept together years ago, but they're friends. And she brought it up on camera. And he said that's when he lost respect for her because it not only impacts him, but impacts her, you know, because she had nothing to do with the show, really. You know what I mean? So they broke up. But, okay, I'll get back to that. Then Johnny and Amy, they were an interracial couple. She's Hispanic. He's white. And she was saying when she first met him that she had never dated a white guy. She really likes ethnic guys, but they were so, you knew they were getting married. You knew they were getting married and they got married and their families, they just seeing them all together celebrating. They both, it was like, wow, this actually worked, you know, but they got married. And the one that I was rooting for, AD and Clay, they're a black couple. Clay told, the reason why I was rooting for them because AD, she would seem like she's such a supportive girlfriend and would be a supportive wife. And Clay was someone who was used to being kind of a player, but he wanted to get married. And he was saying that he's never seen a successful marriage. His parents were married 24 years, but his dad used to cheat on his mom. And he would even take him with them sometimes. And so But he kept pumping himself up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And he got to the altar and he said it would be responsible for him to do it. And you could just see him, his mom, you know, she said she supported what is every decision he made. And, you know, his dad was there as well. But they were saying the mom was the real star, his mom, because, you know, there was a conversation between his mom and his dad, who they're not together anymore. And he said the reason why he said no was because of what he saw in our marriage. And the dad tried to have a moment. He got teary eyed and he said, yeah, but it led me to you. She said, yeah, it led you to me, but you didn't do me right. And so you need to have a conversation with your son to break that cycle. But it was just the way she did it. And she didn't do it rude. She didn't do and she said that there are things that I learned during this show that I didn't know that you did. Because, you know, he would vent to his mom about his fear of getting married. But anyway, so they didn't get married. But they were recently spotted together. Because she said when they were leaving the show that she said that if he didn't want her then she wasn't going to be with him. But they were recently spotted together at a bunch of friends and family. And then Clay and Jimmy, the one that I said that seemed like they were toxic, they were recently spotted together as well in Florida. So we'll see what happens. Reunion comes on this week. But I mean, I really, Clay's dad told him right, where if you don't feel like it's that you're prepared to get married, don't do it. And I think that's true. You know what I mean? Because really, they only know each other a few months. You know what I mean? And he was saying, I need more therapy. I need counseling. You know, I'm not saying I don't want to be with you. I'm just not ready to get married. But I think it was more so because she was probably embarrassed because everybody was there, their family and their friends and everything. But it's a good show. I could definitely not be on this show, but it's a good show.
I mean, they're surrounded by cameras. They got to be used to some of this. Like, you know, something's going to happen, right?
Yeah. I was rooting for them. And she was so devastated when she left, when she was walking out, you know. But
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. So is it finished now or is there still?
Well, it's the reunion to see because they tape it. I think it's usually a year, and then a year later they meet up, and that's when they kind of see where things stand. But sometimes like people that didn't get married, or you know, they end up hooking up. You know, people that were in the pods as well, because you're seeing each other as the season goes on. Yeah,
so. Exactly. We'll see what happens. Exciting. And I guess did you get to watch the Lee Fields documentary?
I didn't. I need to. I started to watch it. It was longer than I thought it would be, and I didn't have time to. But it looked. I saw the trailer, and then reading up on, especially doing the interview with those two ladies. I definitely want to see it because he was someone who, you know, he hit his career early on, like in the '60s, '70s, I believe, or '50s, '60s, and then it went down because music changed and went to disco era.
Yep.
Like, you know, '70s, '80s. And he thought his career was over, and then it was a resurgence in the 2010s. And he, to this day, he's still making music, and people are loving. He has multi-generational fans.
Yeah, it's interesting, the revival, and I mean, we see that with hip hop throughout history. But like, you know, playing samples, playing musics, but like his music, like he's got some really good hits, and like it's been, you know, they played it in episodes of Atlanta, they played it in episodes of even American Dad, like. They've pulled in a lot of his music over the decades, and it's like, yeah, it's still good. And he's going on tour. So if you're ready to see him, because he lives in New Jersey right now, you know, just kind of living the quiet life, but you could tell he like loves to perform. So,
What's surprising to me is that they worked on this project for a decade.
Yeah.
A decade, you know. And so I asked them in the interview, I said, well, what did you learn about yourselves doing this film? You know, but they already had impressive backgrounds, but it was interesting. So if you heard the interview in our last episode, not go back on our YouTube channel, but it was a good interview.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you as always. Let us know what to spend our money and time on, what not to, and have a great week.
All
right. Right back after this.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show, now time to highlight our Black owned business. It is called Just for Girls Salon, and it's a hair salon for girls. They have three locations, East Atlanta, Smyrna, and Kennesaw here in Atlanta, Georgia. But they specialize in growth and maintenance of healthy, natural hair for all girls with all hair types and textures. With three locations in the metro area, they've become the go-to for many ATLian families. And just like they say, all little girls should know their hair is beautiful. Again, that's Just for Girls Salon. There'll be a link in the bottom of this video. I want to thank our guests tonight, directors Jessamay Anzi and Joyce Michonne, for joining us. Their documentary, Lee Fields, Faithful Man, is available in the bio on this video. They're all over it. It's a great documentary. You want to check it out. I want to thank you for joining us. Have a great week. And we'll see you again. See you again next Monday. Good night.
Tonight is all eyes on me. Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand. Head to the floor, we gon' dance. And when we get there, best believe we're gonna do a two-step. Ain't no drama in here, so don't stress. Step to the right, then side to the left. Yeah.